Welcome into the banter, everybody. It is Wednesday yet again.
2 days post-Christmas.
Ooh, first try. I think thing's either gotten a second wind or I've just gotten pretty good at it. Before we get into today's episode, got a quick word from our sponsor, Manscaped. Step into 2024 with confidence thanks to Manscaped, where resolutions are met and hairs are neatly kept. As the new year approaches, why not make a self-improvement a breeze by keeping your body well-groomed? Introducing Manscaped Performance Package 5.0 Ultra, the ultimate all-inclusive kit designed to help you feel clean-cut and confident as you should. Featuring the powerhouse Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra, this next-gen trimmer ensures precision and ease when tackling your toughest hairs. So kick off 2024 with a trim above the rest and use code BANTER20 at manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping. The Performance Package 5.0 Ultra is here. Let me tell you, it's got futuristic tendencies. Included in this bundle is the brand new Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra, the Weed Whacker 2.0 ear and nose hair trimmer, and the essential aftercare products like the Crop Soother and the Crop Preserver. And you also get two free gifts as well. You get the Shed Travel Bag and some boxers, which are incredible. Their fifth generation lawnmower features two interchangeable next-gen skin-safe blades heads, a standard one for taking a little off top, and a new foil blade to go smooth wherever your heart desires. Listen, I got my brother a Performance Package 5.0 Ultra for Christmas, made his whole season.
There you go.
He cried. So there you go. You just know he's set up now. Resolutions may come and go, but a well-groomed you is here to stay with Manscaped's latest and greatest. So you can get 20% off and free shipping with code BANTER20 at manscaped.com. It's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code BANTER20.
Two free gifts. That's a good deal.
Two free gifts. Who doesn't love free gifts?
And the new foil blade.
That is true.
New foil blade.
I'll address the elephant in the room. I'm not Connor. I'm in Connor's chair.
I was like, what are you talking about?
Connor's still out of town, and Trevor asked if I would fill in. So I didn't force myself into this banter. I just wanted to make
that
clear.
Oh, yeah, that's probably good. You don't want to make it seem like a hostage situation.
No, like Trevor asked me yesterday.
Nobody would ever sit in that chair if they weren't, like, needed, you know? Like, that chair is pretty sacredly Connor's chair.
It's a big chair.
Yeah, I just wanted people to know. Yeah. I didn't force my... The dice didn't choose me, but I'm here.
Just here.
So I wanted people to understand.
Insert a soundbite of Connor, like, screaming help from the background.
Yeah, honestly.
No, Connor's not here. He had better things to do, man. He wanted to miss out on the banter. I've never missed a banter.
You missed, like, a month and a half. You never missed the banter you're supposed to be on.
Exactly.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's true. Sure. He's got a tough spot, though, because he's like the all-time quarterback when you're playing pickup football. That's him on the banter. He runs the show.
Right.
Speaking of free gifts, what's the best gift you guys got for Christmas this year? Just had it. Just happened.
The best. Okay, I'll show you mine.
Whoa!
Oh, he's got it on.
So
him.
I have my a new EDC gear. Connor, you're missing out.
I got a lot to show you, Jason.
So I'm sure. So I've been wanting one. Like, I love flashlights. So I usually carry these little bitty streamline flashlights. They're like $20 and you get a rechargeable or a battery. But my mom asked me what I wanted.
Olight. Oh, I got some Olight stuff.
Oh, you got some Olight. And I won't shine it, but like, it has one button and it goes bright.
I'm blind.
The turbo. Wow. I won't go in the camera.
How many lumens are we talking? 200,
300? Honestly, I don't know. That's pretty sad. It's on the box. I should know that. So
you should know that.
So anyway, it also has, so for glow, it also has UV. You can't really see that.
There's a
UV
light there. That's pretty neat.
So if I really need it for glow.
It's like disc golf EDC.
Yeah, disc golf EDC. So that is my, the unique thing about Olight, it has its own proprietary charger, which seems a little odd, but it's magnetized. Mm-hmm. So it's super sweet. So you get anywhere near there, it claps on, and there
is
you go.
Is that what's your key one, Trevor?
Yeah. So my, I got what Olight makes. It goes on my keychain, and it is just like this big.
Yeah.
And when you pull it off the magnet, it turns the light on.
Okay.
And then when you click it back on the magnet, it turns the light
off.
Gosh. It's very cool.
Awesome.
And it's like $10. I'll show it to you later. But I did get a bunch.
That may be going to the Amazon shopping cart today.
It's
that is
very
awesome,
cool. It doesn't last very long. You're going to have to replace those batteries. But it's a very fun like little, ooh, look at that.
It's
He's
cool.
Got the fancy,
it's a party trick.
It's a party trick.
It's a party trick.
It's definitely a party trick. I feel like there's a lot of EDC items that are like, oh, it's a fun little like pull it out, look what I got.
Yeah. Like instance, you won't really use it that often,
right?
But it's
right.
Like,
it's like
how
well,
fun this is.
Well, like a lot of people in EDC carry a lighter, and it's like unless you smoke, you're not really gonna need it. But it is fun to pull one out and be like, click, click, like look, I got a lighter.
I got a lighter.
I have one in my kit. I showed you. I have one in the kit I carry. I don't
the
carry
one.
Right, the electric lighter.
Yeah.
So and also have a battery charger in there. That way, if the electric lighter's ever dead,
is an electric lighter literally just a taser? Like, they look
exactly.
I think
it's a low-power taser. Yeah.
I think
bet.
It's just a lower-power taser, which leads me to believe I have, like, an actual taser.
Try to light a candle.
You can just use that.
I know. We should try and light something with it.
Yeah.
Like, what happens if I just like stick it up to that piece of cardboard? Are we gonna light a fire on the banter today?
Nope.
Might. We might.
That's why I'm here.
No. Dang it, dude! If it was Connor, we would have totally lit this box on fire.
Yeah, the box would already be on fire.
Whatever. Hon, I gotta say, I think that sweatshirt might be the coolest thing you got.
Yeah. So Liz, my wife, gave me this new hoodie. I think the coolest thing I got was probably my new backpack.
I saw that walking in. I was gonna ask you about that.
Yeah. It's It has like a shoe compartment in the side for your running shoes, and then you can put your like obviously clothes and stuff in it. But it's big enough that I can fit what I used to carry, two backpacks to work every day, in one. So like, my laptop, my notebook, my charger, all of that stuff. And then on days I run, I can put my shoes in a separate compartment, so it keeps them separate. And then my clothes in a separate compartment, so it keeps them separate. So yeah, and then it has all the Velcro on the front, so you can put like different patches to complete races and stuff.
It's pretty sick.
So I think that's probably the coolest thing I got for Christmas. Connor's discs are really getting on my nerves. I'm not going to lie to you. That's like the fifth time I've
Should we take him home for him? Would that be so funny if we put him in a box, taped it up, and left it on his porch?
That'd be our Christmas gift to him.
It'd be funny until it got stolen.
And then his we could put it underneath like his stairs on the side of his house.
With the skunk.
Yeah. No, I don't think that's where the skunk lives. We could find a place to put. I just think it'd be hilarious if he showed up and he was like, first of all, he'd probably be like, oh my gosh, I got all these discs. Like, what's going on? And he'd open it, it'd just be the discs from his
desk.
That's
what we should do.
What'd you get?
But he would notice they're gone. I was going to say, if we boxed them up and like sent them to him, like that one time we sent a bunch of used discs to him.
It's really funny.
Yeah.
Did you ever tell you about that, Jason?
I don't know the used disc one.
This is like when he was kind of talking with Gateway a little bit, like not really, but like it was just kind of a funny thing in the office. But we put a package together of all used discs from the used section and taped it up and put a really convincing Gateway label on it,
right,
and just pranked them with it.
Like not even good used discs, the worst ones we could find.
We had it delivered. We had somebody bring in the package as if it had been delivered.
It was Nolan.
Yeah.
So Nolan was working in the retail store.
That was really convincing.
We took a label from Shopify, like we normally would use, and then I took it into Illustrator and changed the address that it was shipped from to Gateway's, and then changed the address we were sending to ours, and then printed that out with our label printer and put it onto the package, and then wrote a little note in there and then packed it to where he couldn't see the discs. So it was like, I mean, we sent him like 30 discs.
It was
probably
pretty funny.
So he opened it and it's like this little note from Gateway basically thanking him for throwing their plastic and all this
we
stuff.
Wrote him a note and we made it sound like something that they would say. Oh, that's so funny.
And then he opened it and like, I think it just, you could see the disc from the side. So he was just busting up laughing because we wrote it as if the guy from Gateway was like,
had like picked out.
Yeah. Like these are some of my hand selected ones from my collection. I absolutely love them. They flew great for me. So like, it was believable why they were used, but they were just like, looked like they've been chewed up by dogs. And so he opened it and then he like busted up laughing. And then as he like slowly started looking through them, then it started to click. And then we just lost it.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I don't understand why Connor has confidence issues around you guys. It's a puzzlement why he has.
Hey, we haven't pranked
our
that
prank
many
era
times,
is honey. Over,
thankfully,
but it's coming back.
Yeah, it used to be a pretty big thing when we didn't have as much to do around here, other than like sit around and be like, all right, so somebody left for vacation. How are we going to prank them?
Yeah, as soon as someone walked out the door, it's just like, all right, here's my five ideas. I've been thinking about it all week.
That's seriously what it became.
That was during the ping pong era too.
Yeah, we need to start making a timeline. What other eras do we have in our office?
The sticker era.
The sticker
the
era.
Apparel era.
Apparel era. The way too many t-shirts from four imprint era.
That's just the four imprint error era.
That's just the four imprint error era.
They made it right, though. Good on them.
Hey, yeah, they gave us all for free. Thank you, four imprint. I'll never forget. I forget who what that lady's name was, but
Either.
She had us going. Ooh, man.
There's a Snapchat on your phone somewhere of me
talking
to her.
Yeah, I have you on the phone call.
No, you don't understand. This is the problem with them.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
What was your Christmas, the number one gift, Trev?
Well, you know, my wife got me the new Zelda game, and I hadn't really... like I was like, I opened it, and I was excited to play it, and I was like, because I loved the first one a lot. But it was kind of like, I haven't played it in a long time, so I was like, oh, cool. But last night, I finally turned it on, and I started playing the game, and I was like, this game rocks. Yep. Like, Zelda, man, they sucker you in. They hit you with these cinematic. Have you played the new any of them?
Switch no, ones? Every one of my like right after they came out, we Jason. Had a party at the house where literally everybody in my house except me were playing Zelda at the same time because I didn't have a copy of it. So
no, well, you need, do you need a copy?
No,
I have the I have Breath of the Wild on like the cartridge.
No, we're about to actually play through Resident Evil 5 again. My wife and I, we like like the zombie killing game. So
you need to play it. You need to take. I need to
play the newer Zelda.
It's great. They open up with these cinematic like sequences, and it's just incredible. It's a really really cool game, and I'm like, okay, I'm looking forward to playing that a lot. But yeah, I got some EDC stuff. I got a new knife. I got a like a bit driver set, some flashlights. I got a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah. So. Yeah, it was pretty good. It was successful. I haven't delved into the backpack world yet, just because for some reason I feel like in my mind, the idea of having like a backpack, like a nice backpack, stems from wanting to protect your laptop and transport your laptop. Like for me, because like that's what I would use it primarily for. Hunter obviously has a dual purpose of like he has running stuff he wants to transport too, but like for me, it's like. If I feel like I'm not going to invest in a nice backpack until I have a nice laptop. And I'm sorry, my laptop can hear me from over here. It's probably getting really embarrassed. But my laptop hasn't been nice since like 2018. And so eventually whenever I get a laptop that I'm like, yeah, I want to like this laptop, like right now, I don't want to take my laptop home with me. You know, it's just not, it's not really one you take home to your parents. It's a little bit slower, it's a bit chunky, and it's just not, it's not really doing it. But one day I'll get a nice, really nice sleek MacBook or something.
Yeah.
And then that one, I'm like, I wanna take this one home. I wanna have my laptop with me at all times. Then I'll probably get a nice backpack. But right now, not worth it.
Just yeah, I don't really leave. If I'm going out to like dinner or something, sure. But yeah. If I'm going out of the house for an extended period of time, I don't leave the house on my laptop.
And my laptop's never really been. I purposefully got a bigger, more stationary laptop when I went to college because I knew that I was going to most of the time. Like I typically was a note taker on paper in class. It just helped me. So like I was going to use it most of the time in my dorm room at my desk or take it to the library and sit down with it. So I never needed to be super portable. I wanted to be able to game. So I needed to be a little bit bigger for that reason. So that's kind of part of it. It's just like, it's just not fun to whip that thing out. I mean, it probably weighs 3 pounds. And it sounds like an absolute space shuttle whenever you turn it on.
You guys know because my laptop just died. My MacBook.
Oh, are you in the market right now?
It's dead. No, well, we're one laptop down at the house. I basically stole my wife's laptop because I got to have something for work and to do other stuff at the house. So I was looking at, we were talking last week about those refurbished ones on the Apple site. It'll be a MacBook. Insane. We are part of the MacBook world. Like everything I'm back to my Apple Watch since I'm not running right now. So I don't have
gang. What?
Oh, I love my Garmin, but I don't have my Garmin because I'm not running right now.
Yeah, why do you go to the Apple Watch when you're not
using? Because I like its ease OS? Of connection to my phone.
Oh,
like to control music, like at the warehouse because we're playing music all the time. It's easy connection, that easy to answer my phone.
That's true.
One of the coolest things I love about it is when you're driving right and you have the maps function. It'll pushes vibrate. To do it and it'll vibrate. Yeah. Let you know if you're just talking. Oh my gosh, I'm supposed to turn in.
That
you know,
is very
200
cool.
feet. So that kind of.
Which series do you have?
This is Series 7, so...
Okay, mine's really old. But here's the thing. I have the Series 3. I got this a long time ago, and it wasn't even the newest one then. And it's still, like...
Yeah, it's...
I don't try to do anything complicated with it. Like, I can't even get the newest Watch OS, but, like, texts, phones, whatever, or phone calls, whatever. Like, it works just fine. This is one of the first ones that they made waterproof. So, like, I could swim with this thing. So it's great. The MacBook thing is really... pivoted because I was so anti MacBook for so many years because they didn't have their own processors. So if you wanted to get an i7 or something really good in your MacBook, you were going to pay egregious amounts of money. And as somebody who was really into computers and knew what computer parts cost, I was like, this is just a joke. But nowadays, I mean, you can buy an M1 MacBook Air refurbished for like $500-$600. And like, that's a really good deal. It's gotten impressive. I'm like very... It's interesting that they've pivoted, and obviously when they make things in-house, it just is going to be cheaper, but or make their own. They're not buying them from Intel, but it's just interesting that they've decided to like cost them down.
Yep.
Yeah, I think I got the MacBook either the generation or two generations before the M1 chip.
Mm-hmm.
And because I had a MacBook Pro, like a 2015 MacBook Pro. Then when I went to college, I think it was earlier than that, because it was my brother's hand-me-down in high school was when I got that MacBook Pro. So, I mean, it was probably like a 2010 or 2009. So I used that for my first year of graphic design school in college. And then I think for Christmas or something, I got a used iMac, which was the one that was on my desk until I took Connor's hand-me-down. It was a used iMac, so it's a 2015 iMac. Used that through most of college, but then my senior year of college is when Foundation started, and I was also doing a lot of graphic design stuff. So that was like 2018 or 20, it was either 2018 or 2019 MacBook Pro, because I typically would wait till the new ones came out and then buy the previous year's one.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I either bought it in the fall of 2018, it was 2017, or I bought it in the fall of 2019, it was 2018, one of the two of those. Mm-hmm. But it was like $3,000 still.
Yeah.
Now, the thing, it still runs extremely great. Like, honestly, I have a Mac Mini with the M1 chip, and my MacBook, my iMac at home, is very slow compared to it. My MacBook is slower, but it's not like halt your productivity slower. Like, it's probably a few seconds, is it. And I mean, it's several years old, but I love MacBook Pros. I don't know, but refurbished, I've always been scared of refurbished stuff because I've been burned twice by not by Apple.
Okay.
But once someone was the B&H, the camera we're freaking using, this camera y'all looking through right now, that guy was pre-owned, refurbished. We had it for like a year, if even, and the SD card reader.
I don't know if.
The SD card reader went bad, and you can fix it really cheaply, but the way to fix it is like you have to basically solder something to the motherboard or something like that of the camera. And so if you mess that up, then it can cause a whole nother slew of issues. And the quote to send it off to get it fixed was like $800, which at that point, the camera wasn't really worth $800 anymore. So we had to replace that. So that was one burn. The other one was, I'm trying to remember, It was a camera that I got in either senior year of high school or freshman year of college, and the autofocus just never worked. It would autofocus, but it would autofocus like just a bit off to where you're like almost in focus.
That's like probably the most frustrating thing ever.
Yeah. Well, this is what we used for Foundation videos at one point, sometime early in the history of Foundation. And it was always like you had to be super intentional. So like I always just shot in like a crazy high f-stop so that you were going to be in focus. Everything was in focus. Because if not, if I tried to go to like anything low, where you'd have some like background blur and stuff, then it would just look a little off. You'd just be
that's
like,
funny.
It's almost in focus. So those are my two refurbished things, and they've not done well. So I do not do refurbished. I'll do used cars, but I don't do used tech.
I don't
tech.
Know that I've ever actually bought. I'm trying to think about if I've ever even bought anything. I think I had a place PSP, like the PS Vita. I think I have one of those just refurbished. It was fine, but
the only thing we've got refurbished is all Apple stuff. Like we have a couple of our iPads that were refurbished and a couple of the MacBooks because I bought my kids ones for college. And then so I think of the four MacBooks we have now, I think two of them were refurbished when we got them. And even the one that just died was just an old one that was still working, so that I bought in clearance. So I'm okay with Apple because they're warrant. Like I trust.
Yeah.
But that's a good thing or not. I trust Apple's refurbishment to actually be really good. And most people say it's pretty good. So, but there's also, when I was looking for other computers, I guess at Best Buy, they actually have a Geek Squad refurbished. I don't know if I trust them. They're probably just as good. But like on the Best Buy site, you can buy the Apple certified refurbished or you can buy the Geek Squad certified refurbished.
Interesting.
And it was a little cheaper for the Geek Squad certified refurbished. And
yeah. So like, it just comes down to what the standards are for each company. Refurbished disc off discs. That's what we're going to start selling.
That's what we do.
Certified used.
That's basically what we do, is right.
Essentially that, except for we a disc, you know it's not it. Actually broken to begin with.
No internals. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, what even makes a laptop slow down after a while? Because, like, is it just, like, the collection of dust and wear? I mean, I know there's a lot of mechanical things going on.
Well, also just a lot of, like, files. You just
get
them down, for sure.
Well, it was impressed. So it was my MacBook Pro, my first one was an 09. I'm remembering now. It was an 09 because I still used it whenever I needed a laptop, even after I got my iMac. And it finally got it never went fully crapped out on me, but it finally got bad enough that I was like, I need to replace it in like 2018 or 2019. So it lasted me close to 10 years between my brother and then me. Yeah. Close to 10 years of like, I was editing videos on it and like doing my freshman year of college graphic design work on it. And it was definitely slow, but like it was handling it just fine. It was a freaking hoss because it still had the disk driver.
Oh yeah, the old MacBook.
All of that. Thick. It had an SD card reader. Had like 7 ports on the
side.
Back
when they actually put ports on their laptops, instead of just got to have a dongle.
I will say everything. Because I again, my MacBook was like one of the first to go to just the 4 USB-C ports. Nowhere near as inconvenient as I thought it would be.
Well, the 4 USB-C ports isn't standard, though. Like,
it's standard MacBook Pros.
I was going to say the Airs are what? 1 or 2?
2.
The Air I have is 2. The MacBook that just died, and it was the battery that died on mine, was just 1.
And I'm like, I understand, obviously, it's totally a give and take a lot of times, but like, gosh. I mean, and USB-C is one thing because that's becoming way more standard now. So, like, that's fine and all. But, like, even just, like, an SD card slot reader cannot take up that much space in a laptop. Yeah. It can't. But, I mean, and it's funny because, like, does Apple, obviously, I mean, I think Apple probably just dominates. Like, every time they decrease the amount of ports in a laptop, they probably see a spike in their sales of like dongles,
right?
And people lose them too. Like, if you buy like an Apple USB-C to HDMI, like, you're gonna eventually lose that dongle, and then you have to buy a new one.
5 years or 4 years and no dongles lost yet.
That's a
miracle.
I've
been holding it on.
Yeah, because
I have a USB-C to USB, and then I have the SD card reader, and then I have the one that has 3 slots. It's the HDMI, USB, and I don't know what the third one even is, to be honest with you. I never use it.
Display port, maybe?
It might be like a mini display port or something. I don't know. I have the wide one, and then I have those two, and I've used them very frequently over the years. But I've always had a pouch. I put them all in. So as soon as I'm done, I put them in the pouch, and I keep the pouch in my backpack. System.
Well, man, if you lose the pouch, then you lose them all. So it's all for nothing.
The dongle we have is the one that has like 7 or 8 ports on it, just because I want them all in one. And so we haven't lost ours either, but I put one in my laptop bag. So when I'm done with it, I zip it and put it in my bag. I have one that's literally downstairs because when I'm doing the Bards of the Board podcast, I have just one that's always downstairs for that. Mm-hmm. So it puts it in the same place. And then another one's on my desk because I have an external monitor. So when I go to my desk in my office, I plug the dongle up so I have a bigger monitor. So I'm not looking off my laptop screen. But this one has like 3 USBs, HDMI, another USB-C, the micro SD, the SD.
So many things. USB-C, like, I hope it just takes over. I'm going through the transition right now where my new phone is USB-C because the new iPhones are USB-C. And that's like, it's like what I experienced whenever they went to Lightning port, where all of my chargers are now, well, not completely useless because my AirPods, the AirPods I have are still Lightning.
Yep. So
it's actually worse
because
now I still need to keep those around. But now it's like little things like, oh, I get into the car and I can't plug my phone in there because that's not a USB-C charger. It's a Lightning charger. Like, everywhere that I've ever placed a Lightning charger is no longer works for my phone. And, you know, it takes a few years. It takes a few years to readjust. You got chargers, man. Like, I just wish a good phone charger costs less than it does.
Yeah.
You know, maybe this is like, this would go on my bulk buying website. I just need enough people to get together where we can just bulk buy a ton of phone chargers, and then we don't have to worry about it ever again. Because I just wish I had 50 of them sitting around somewhere. I could just grab it anytime.
That was the nice thing, which now that iPhones went to USB-C, it's basically the same thing now. But when I first switched from my iPhone to Android, because I think I went from like the iPhone 4.
You got a micro USB. Galaxy.
Yeah, it was micro USB.
Very universal.
And they were just everywhere.
Yeah.
Like everything.
And way cheaper too.
Everything that charged at that time, like, I was working at the coffee shop during part of me having it. Our scales at the coffee shop used micro USB. Like, everything.
And
there
luckily,
was a charger everywhere.
Yeah, luckily USB-C is becoming that now because, like, for instance, Manscaped. Your Manscaped, if you buy one of their products that charges, it will usually, sometimes some of them have a wireless charger, but even that plugs in with a USB, like, or USB-C. So, like, that is becoming the standard, which is great because USB-C rocks. Like, micro USB was obviously like a one-sided USB. It had to go in the right way. And right. You never got it right the first time. You know what they need to do that for is HDMI. My goodness. If I couldn't even tell you the frustrating cords power list, power rankings. Let's do it right now. Okay. My frustrating cords power rankings would be number one is probably HDMI because not only are they're kind of a thicker, more rigid cord, so twisting them sometimes can be annoying. But then threading them, they're always a really precise one. You got to get it right on the money, and they got to be the right way. And you got to, like, if you're reaching behind a TV, you got to like make sure you got to check. And they're fragile; they can just snap.
Number one for me is just USB. I guess it's like what B
the standard,
or A, the standard
USB. USB.
HDMI, you can at least feel like it's at least wider on one side and gets thinner. So like that I can reach behind a TV and feel it and know it goes this way. No. USB, like. I mean, every time I plug it in, I'm like, oh, that's the wrong way. I flip it. I plug it in. I'm like, oh, that's the wrong way. I flip it.
That is
it
true. In.
Like
USB is a little tease.
They're both the same. You can't just feel and know, oh, the USB goes this way.
Well, you can feel, but you got to feel like, it in
feel
the cord.
Into the port. Yeah,
it's
but
definitely.
HDMI, I can just like rub my hand on the back and be like, oh, okay.
I'm just surprised I'm surprised that HDMI has not gotten to that point. Like USB, like Lightning fixed the iPhone charger. They made theirs double-sided. USB-C has fixed USB now. Like it's now double-sided. HDMI, you're next.
Right.
Oh my gosh, could you just imagine us all having to replace our HDMI cords though? What a nightmare.
That's what's
well,
crazy.
That would at least be like it's a it'd be like a slow,
a slow transition.
Because like you don't replace a TV or a
well,
gaming
it's true though, because
nearly
like,
as much as your phone.
That is true because like TVs, like a lot of them will still have AV ports and like monitors would have like your DVI ports and HDMI. This is what it's time. It's time to start having HDMI 2.
Well, can't USB-C be used? Like, can it carry video?
It carries. Like, well, I mean, it carries it as an extension from your MacBook. So. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's like a MacBook. I can plug in with USB-C to a monitor.
My dongle goes
and it works.
Yeah. I don't know. Like obviously, HDMI cords you can buy in like certain grades. Like certain ones that are like better gold plating and whatnot. Yeah. And I'm sure some of it has to do with input delay, like if you're putting a gaming system in, but it's like how I'd love to know how much it matters what HDMI cord you're using because I've never thought about it.
Not for what I'm doing it for.
The only thing I've experienced is I have my TV at home and the HDMI cords attached to my TV at home, very cheap because like we don't, I mean, it's just a Roku TV.
I always buy the cheapest one I get.
And so like, the only thing that attached it was my PlayStation to my TV, and at that point I was not gaming much at all, and so but then I started playing Rocket League, and I started playing Rocket League on my gaming computer, which is now our streaming computer, and so I got very used to like no input lag, like no delay at all, and then I brought the gaming computer over here, and then I got back into Rocket League because I like went through a period wasn't playing games, but this is like right before Luke is born. I'm like, I better soak up my video game ability while I can. Try to get back into Rocket League. Plugged my PS4 just into the whatever HDMI I had laying around the house into my TV. Went to play Rocket League.
Well, to be
and
fair,
it was
this
awful.
This has to do a lot more with your TV than your.
No, yeah, my TV was. That's what I'm saying. TV was cheap. HDMI cord was cheap. Everything was cheap.
Yeah.
Except for the PlayStation.
It's about that response
and
time.
It was. I couldn't play it, so I had to come back to work, get my monitor. And then take my monitor home.
Yeah.
And I had a better HDMI cord in the basement. I just didn't. So I just went. I just plugged it all up in the basement, and then I was fine.
Yeah. Well, your monitor's probably running either 1 or 5 millisecond response, and your TV could be like 25.
I think this monitor's one.
Yeah. Well, in that case, so your TV could be like 25.
No.
Millisecond.
Yeah. The TV. Because like I would play the TV. I remember like Rock Band, you can calibrate.
Well, it's also one of those things, too, where it's like once you see how quick it can be, your brain can't go back.
Well, yeah, but like sports games, I never really noticed. Like NBA 2K.
It's games that have really fine.
But when like Rocket League, because even Call of Duty, I didn't notice that much. Like there
you would notice it if you played it on the monitor, though, and went back probably.
Yeah, I didn't go back. But like the Rocket League, you noticed. Because there was like I was playing with my brother who was like a diamond or something, and I was in like plat 1 or plat 2.
Yeah.
And the few milliseconds was the difference between me hitting the ball and completely whiffing. And I was like, I swear I hit it. Like I know it. Oh, it was so,
Rocket League
was so
is
frustrating.
A, man, that is a frustrating game. So hard.
I miss it. I want to get back into it.
Dude, I just like Rocket League for me. Like I was totally fine to get as good as I could at like all, everything that happens basically on the ground, but once you get to the flying part of the game, you lose me. I'm just like, I don't have enough time in my day to get in a practice arena and practice these flying techniques that are super unintuitive. Like, you've got to basically, in, like, I don't even know if they meant for it to happen in the game. They're that unintuitive. They just kind of like, oh, if you point up, you can do this. I mean, it is, talk about complex, man. That game is hard.
I never got to where I could, like, fly, but I got decent at, like, jumping, flying up, and then hitting the ball.
Yeah, you could,
which is all I needed to do to get by.
That game.
The biggest part of Rocket League was, like, understanding the movement, which is the biggest part of most sports games. But it's, because it's, like, a whole different sport, to where, like, understanding your positioning with the ball and stuff like that. Because then you could do a lot of damage still on the ground, not if you got to, like, playing Diamond Plus people, but, like, in Plat, you could do enough damage on the ground just by knowing where to be in duos and trios.
It's true.
That was kind of how I played.
Yeah. We would just invite people in that watched our streams, and they would be so good.
Yeah. A Weave. Never forget.
He was so good.
I still follow, what's his, Captain something on, I followed him on Instagram, and he still streams. I followed him back during our streaming
days. I don't remember all the...
Captain, I'll look him up.
That was like a... That was quite a group we had going on there.
We had some killers.
Gosh. I can't even say the word stream right now. It gives me PTSD.
So I'll go back... Going back to the cable question, I was thinking about this. I'll show my age. The cable, and it seems more basic, is a coax cable.
Oh, do I, you know, remember about the coaxials.
So the coax, it, like, it goes straight in, but, like, trying to twist the thing, and do you have
well,
it
Well, I have one hooked up to,
like,
my TV,
like,
right
is
now.
It in there? It's in there. It's not in there. Okay, yeah. It's in there. It's not in there. It's that, so that's...
I've got one hooked up right now because when I bought my old house, it it has this giant antenna on top of it that they threaded coaxial into every room. And when I hooked it up, I realized that it was awesome. Like, I get all these free channels.
That's what we use because we don't have cable. And so for me to watch, you know, CBS or NBC or ABC, we just have an antenna. Yeah. And so it's still coax.
Yeah,
so.
I got this big metal one on my roof. I think I could patch into the ISS if I needed to. I saw a video the other day of a guy who made a giant ham radio and got signal to the International Space Station.
That's
like
awesome.
Dang.
He reached them, and they were, like, talking to him.
That's funny.
They were like, welcome aboard. And he was like, what the heck is going on right now? So, yeah, apparently you can talk to the International Space Station.
Is that the next goal?
Might be. I might need to get into that. I don't know.
EDC, just stay in EDC for now. So
no space travel. That's
it's gonna move to the next one.
Trevor's
goal.
Already unlocked.
We have all this
enough.
Gear. That's
he's got enough
the
EDC gear.
Are we supposed to go
to
the moon
on?
In like by like 2025? Wasn't that like announced like 2 years ago?
Who knows? I don't keep up with that stuff.
I love space travel. I think it's so fascinating.
I was watching an astronaut, and they were asking him like, he's asking him like how much an astronaut made, because like. As a kid,
allegedly not a lot.
Yeah, he said it was like 60-70 grand.
Well, they're a government employee, so
yeah, that's right. What he said. He said as soon as he,
you know,
left space travel and went to the private sector,
right, that's where he's
then he was worth a ton
money,
of money.
So.
Right. But I was just like, as a kid, you heard astronaut, and I just expected, like, in my head, still, I think because I hadn't thought about it since I was in like fifth grade, when they were asking astronaut how much he made, I just saw it pop up on like Instagram Reels or something. I was like, oh, it's gonna be probably like $750,000.
Some of those government
and then he just
jobs,
said like
though,
60.
Like,
I was like, wait, what?
Sometimes the government stuff that's like they're not actually making that amount
what
because
just,
it's like
what just said 1 second.
Well, it's just like
the president makes like what $400K,
a few hundred thousand, but like, everything is paid for.
Yeah,
pretty
it's like,
much.
It's
so
like the president's actually not making
right.
That
well, money. They also leave the office worth millions and millions.
Exactly. Right. So
yes. So
yeah.
And the astronaut similar. I mean, like especially in the early days when you think about the right stuff, they were being given Corvettes because they went to space or they'll be given a house, so like it looked like they made a lot more money.
It's like modern day NIL deals
basically.
Yeah,
like the whole team, hey Utah, you all get a truck.
Dude, that's crazy. They gave out more teams trucks.
I think it was Utah, right? That's
yeah,
the,
they gave
they
out
gave the volleyball team got Jeeps,
gymnastics
team, and then the basketball team got
they
trucks
got the pick
too.
They
yeah,
ran
yeah.
out and got to like pick. Dude, NIL is crazy, man. Man, we hit college athletics too early,
yeah.
man.
Imagine the NIL deal we could have saw.
Dude, our NIL would be crazy.
I saw an Indiana Hoosiers basketball player paid his sister's student debt off with NIL money.
NIL money's great, man. It's great.
Well, what's crazy is I don't even know who this guy is, and he's making enough NIL money to pay his sister's
loan. The thing about the NIL that's like crazy, though, is like you're – so much of the NIL money is made in like the transfer portal free agency, AKA.
Yep.
And so, like, your almost your best bet is just leave every year.
Yeah.
Because then teams will pay for you.
Yeah.
Because, like, you can make a certain amount of endorsements, and if you're the right player, it probably suits you to just stay where you are. But, like, I mean, if you're imagine you're a top player of the country, and every year you enter the portal.
It's just like disc golf.
Just to collect a $2 million paycheck.
Yeah.
It's just like disc golf. Yeah. You're more valuable if you move.
I'm going to, like, I genuinely want to see a guy who, like, gets into college, plays, like, and just, like, transfers each year just to, like, make, like, $10 million in college.
They've got to fix it. I'm all, because, like, when NIL came out, I was like, oh, that's great. Because in my head, I'm like, players can finally make money from, like, the jersey sales with their number. Yeah. Where, like,
yep. Listen, man.
Like, I bought a Duke 4 jersey solely because of J.J. Redick. Right. But obviously, he didn't get any of that above the table money. So, like, great. You can put Redick on the back, and then he can get a cut of that.
Right.
And, like, shoes make sense. You know, like,
yep.
that type of stuff. Or even NCAA basketball games can come back and actually.
Yeah, so I don't care. Right. I don't care what kind of crimes are committed if I get NCAA football back.
Like, all of that, I was like, this is great. But then they also, the transfer portal, it used to be you had to sit out 1 year. That's got to, at least that's got to come back.
I agree.
Because it's just a professional sport now.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, I just had a career year. I can go to the NBA and sign, you know, my rookie contract and make, you know, $500,000. Or I can come go transfer from Davidson to Duke and make $2 million NIL.
Yep.
Like, of course, I'm not going to the NBA. I'm going to just transfer and treat college like the NBA. Yeah. And then, like, recruiting, it's not even important to get a good recruiting class from high school that much anymore because everyone's a one and done. Even if you get a junior to transfer to you, he's a one and done, basically. I hate it.
Yeah.
The two things I think that have to happen to fix, I'm only thinking college basketball because that's the only thing I care that much about. The two things is, one, I think that you should be able to go straight from high school to the NBA again. And if you go to college, you got to stay 2 years.
Completely,
I think
that's
rule number one.
Because then you actually can get an associate's degree. Like,
yeah, it's a point to go to
college.
What
is the point in going to college for 1 year?
And then
you're not
going to
finish that degree.
Rule number two, I think, is with the transfer portal. If you transfer schools, you have to sit out for an entire year. Mm-hmm. And, like, no NIL money during that year.
I understand that. I would make my counter argument as to why I go there, not even get an associate's degree. It's like at heart, right, you're going to college to learn a skill to go get a job.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, if we're going to be very practical, those super talented guys are going to college to get better at football before they go play. So is that really wrong? It's easy. Now, I'm playing devil's advocate for
that,
right?
It's more so because if the NCAA, we all know the NCAA actually acts like a minor league sports league. We know that that's the case. But the problem is they paint all these players to us like they're student athletes.
Yes. Okay,
they use that
totally
word,
agree.
Student athlete, all the time. And they rub it in our face.
Yep.
Well, totally their student athletes make them be student athletes because they're not right now. They're just athletes.
No,
and the
Zion Williamson went to.
I agree with that.
He left high school a little. If I'm thinking of the right player.
It's really the identity crisis.
Yeah.
If I'm thinking of the right player, I'm pretty sure it was Zion that left high school a little early so that he could start summer school classes at Duke so that by the time Duke basketball season rolled around, he had no classes to take for his freshman year. No, like, and he's a one and done. So basically, by August, he's done with his freshman year electives, minimum you need to take, because why are you taking beyond your minimum amount to play in the NCAA? And then you play through basketball season, and then you know you're gone.
Right.
Like, what? In my opinion, like, Zion Williamson is the poster child for he should have went straight from high school to the NBA.
Well, now you can go to the G League.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Out of high school.
But
or play
with
overseas.
NIL, you're better to go to college. That's much true. Better, because the G League, you're going to make next to nothing in comparison to if you're a Zion Williamson type player, what you can make in college.
It's true.
Right.
The college money, it's,
and you'll
it's
be treated there. Like the superstar you are on that campus if
we
you go
are,
to the right school.
Yeah.
So.
We are supposed to get NCAA football this summer. Summer of 2024. I'm really excited about it. People are talking about who should be on the cover right now. It's a big debate. Some people
Shedeur
are saying
Sanders.
That he's one of the favorites. He's one of the favorites. Some people are saying it should be every single Heisman winner since 2014 should be on the cover because they all, like, missed their chance or whatever. But yeah, Shedeur Sanders is probably
he'd be
the
most polarizing.
Yeah.
Like, it would get the most conversation going. He's not the most deserving.
Yeah.
I don't think
it probably,
but he'd be the most. Yeah. Like, he'd get the most people talking.
Well, if they were give it to the most recent Heisman winner, it'd be what Jaden Daniels, I think is his
LSU,
name at LSU. Which, like, that's a tough one because he won the Heisman, but they didn't even make the playoffs. So
his,
like,
worst game of the season against Alabama. Thank you very much.
You got a game. You got a big weekend coming up then.
Yeah, I almost wore my. It's too hot. I had my. I brought my Alabama hoodie just to wear it,
it's,
and it's just too hot for me.
Big weekend for
Monday,
well for For well, Hunter and I, we play on Monday.
It's a double-double. I'm rooting for Liberty at one.
Jason's got two games.
Yeah, because I'm a Liberty grad as well, so I'm rooting for Liberty at one Eastern, right? I think is what time they play. Yep. If they stay within two touchdowns,
that's
it's
my
a
goal.
Victory.
That's the win.
Well, if you're within two touchdowns, it's Liberty.
Points, I think is the spread.
But Bo Nix could go crazy.
My brother's going.
Is he going?
He's
Ty guy's going to be there. Yeah. So.
My brother is getting to chaperone a student jet.
That's it.
Oh, my gosh.
He works in athletics there, and so he's going to get to fly there. And stay there in a hotel.
That's awesome.
It's pretty sick.
I'm
pretty
awesome. If they had gone to Atlanta or something like that,
I would have gone.
I told Elizabeth, even if I just went by myself,
well,
I would have gone to that game. Liberty, we don't have a big fan base to begin with. We also don't have a serious enough sports fan base to travel that well in general.
Right.
But if you put it within driving distance, not yet. I mean, there's a fifth-year seniors on this football team that 5 years ago we're playing in the FCS for Big South Championships.
Yeah.
And now we're in the FBS going to a New Year's Six Bowl.
Awesome.
Like, we just don't have that much history to have a big fan base. Makes sense. But if you put that close enough to, like, Georgia's, because also so many Liberty grads stayed in the Virginia area, North Carolina area. I know a ton of my friends live in Georgia right now. If that thing was in Atlanta, I mean, A, all of us were going to be there, you just said.
Yes.
But B, everyone I've talked to at church and stuff, they're like, Arizona is just...
It's just so
far, man.
Like, but if it would have been in Georgia, I would have been
there. 6-hour drive, it would have been doable.
Were they even,
now, I'm sure they have to factor... I don't know how much politics play into it, but they do probably have to factor in, like, they'd rather be close to an Oregon fan base that travels than a Liberty fan base that travels.
Yeah, for sure. Because they know no matter how much Liberty is, it won't compare to Oregon, for sure.
Well,
yeah.
I think Penn State and Ole Miss are playing in Atlanta, if I remember correctly. So, like, the Ole Miss fans are going to be flooding there.
Yeah. But so, I understand why we weren't in Atlanta, but, it would have been... Because it could be our only New Year's Six Bowl.
It could be.
Could be.
Yeah.
Hopefully not.
At least for a while, maybe.
I mean,
but
think about... Even like powerhouse team, there are like, think about it as like a program like South Carolina, right? Like a really good SEC football program. When's the last time they were in a New Year's Six Bowl? It's probably been a while.
It is tough being in the SEC.
That is true. Actually, SEC, being where we are in the group of five, this could happen more often than not, but it could not happen for 50 years.
But if it happens next year, you'll be in the playoffs.
I know. That's what awesome. I kept seeing the like mock-up of if the 12-team playoff was this year.
Didn't peak
too
soon.
What sucks is that might have been our chance.
Hopefully our quarterback doesn't transfer. Alabama, you think you're going to beat Michigan?
I think we can. If
I think they're going
to
beat
Michigan. I think Michigan's not going to respect Alabama because I think they saw them lose to Texas early. And Alabama, each of their wins towards the end were close, but they won.
Yeah.
I don't think if Michigan respects Alabama, it'll be a very tight game, and I think Alabama can win. But I don't think Michigan players actually respect the Alabama players, and that's the best thing that could happen.
I think Alabama.
I promise
wins.
You, Alabama respects Michigan. They don't come in thinking they're
going to win. My opinion.
I have no idea what happens in Texas, Washington.
I was going to say, my
not
opinion.
Even,
is
I don't either.
The,
like,
Alabama,
no clue.
The Alabama Michigan game is the national championship game. That's my opinion.
I agree. I think whoever wins that is going
to
win.
Well, that's easy to say, but like Texas already beat Alabama on the road this year, a lot earlier in the season.
Correct.
Granted,
completely different team.
But it happened, and Texas team, Texas took one bad loss, but like they did the they
to
took
their
care,
biggest rival.
They
know,
took
and,
care
and
of business
and actually
for a lot
their
of that
biggest
season.
Game of the year they lost. So.
In my opinion,
they're not. They're,
and Alabama's two biggest. They won.
Texas
Auburn
is a formidable
Georgia,
team. So. Also, Washington.
Washington might get ran through.
I do not.
Historically, Pac-10 teams
I'm
do
just
not
saying,
do
might,
well.
Texas
Pac-12
might show up.
Pac-12. Or they're going away,
you
though,
just
right?
You aged yourself a little bit.
Texas,
it might be the Pac-10.
Texas might show up and beat them by 25 points, 30
I
points.
I don't think so at all.
They might.
Because I think obviously the Pac-12 is a bit of a weird one, but Washington had to play a good Oregon team twice and beat them both
for
times.
For Liberty's sake,
that,
I
that
hope...
That actually says a lot about Washington.
For Liberty's sake, I hope Washington's a fraud.
That could be true.
Because then that increases the chance of Oregon being a fraud.
Pac-12 teams, it's not that they're ever really fraudulent. It's more so that they're all offense, and sometimes they're not... They can't play a... A lot of times it's hard for them to play a gritty SEC or Big Ten team and, you know, win in the trenches and do those kind of things. And a lot of times they're not going to see an Alabama quality defense all year long that is incredibly fast and physical because the Pac-12, it's all offense. So that's really where their flaws come into play.
I mean, realistically, Georgia should be in the playoffs. If we're going – because what they kind of like spoke out of both sides of their mouth a little bit, in my opinion, because they said Florida State's not getting in because we want the four best teams.
Mm-hmm.
But then they didn't put Georgia in.
Right.
And I think if Georgia was in on the other side of that bracket, it's probably a Georgia-Alabama championship game. Probably. From what I've seen throughout. I'm not a huge college football guy, but from what I've seen.
The four best teams in college football right now would be, like, just best would be Georgia, Alabama, Michigan, and you'd have to put Washington in just because you have no idea. Like, and you could argue that one flip-flops with a Texas or even an Ohio State.
Ohio State.
Because they lost to Michigan.
Yeah.
But, it's a mess. 12-team playoff is going to solve a lot of problems. 12-team
will solve a lot. Yeah. It'll also show a lot. Because what I think, there's one of the two things will end up being true. Either the SEC and, like, your typical powerhouses of Michigan, Ohio State are as good as we think they are, or the 12-team playoff will show, like, oh, other conferences can hang.
Yeah.
Because I know the ACC had a good record in the SEC and stuff like that this year.
Stuff
but
happens, man. Hey, Tulane, they won the Fiesta Bowl or Sugar Bowl or something. Like, they won their bowl last year. Yeah. Like, it happens. There will be upsets.
Can happen, yeah.
You watch, like, Alabama, Georgia, even Michigan. Like, they look like pro teams. Like, they look like they're playing football on a different level than a lot of times when you watch a lot of these other schools. So, that's the eye test. But
I'm
like,
sure
the 12-team playoff will tell us, like, were we right all along?
Yeah,
the playoffs will provide both. There will absolutely be Cinderella stories because that happens in the regular season all the time. But there will be some disgusting blowouts. But also, we had one in the national championship last year. So who cares? Like, I think it'll just be really fascinating because, there'll be, I mean, Liberty, for all intents and purposes, is going to get run through.
Yeah.
It's really going to be, can they just score points to at least, like, put up an effort? But their defense is so bad. Like, they might give up 70 points.
We just got to be able to score 65.
That's all that matters. Cover the spread. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be fascinating, but it'll be fun.
Monday's going to be
national
awesome.
Television, you know.
Yep. No, I'm excited. I'm very excited.
College football.
And watch it up at my dad's. He has like a projector in the basement. So that's where I'm going. Parking my butt there. Just going to watch the game. Hopefully I don't have to turn it off at halftime.
That's true. That'll be the tough thing if it's that bad by half.
I know. Oh. It's like, I don't know. Like, I'm expecting it to be a blowout. So it's like, I don't know when I turn off the game or if I do at all. Like, do I just watch it happen?
I'll probably just watch it happen. I got nothing going on that day.
Right.
I can make something else go on that day. Like,
it's just like our only shot.
Maybe I need to schedule something just in case, and I'll cancel it if the game's good.
There you go. Schedule a haircut or something.
Yeah, that's what I'll do. Kenzie's getting a massage that day. She got a massage for Christmas. She's going to get it at like 2:00. Game starts at 1:00. I'm like, well,
she doesn't want to be there for the for the rage.
It's
going to
be a really stressful environment where we are. So I can't even my dad's gonna blow a gasket. I hope maybe it needs to get ugly early because man, he gets heated.
If we're in the game late,
it's gonna be crazy.
It's gonna be swell. Yeah, it's like the only thing to compare it to is whenever we beat Baylor my freshman year.
They canceled class the next day.
That was like the impossible. Yeah, it was.
Turns out Baylor was a little bit of a fraud.
They were terrible that year.
But hey, we didn't know when we beat
them. At the time, it didn't matter.
Our quarterback was Buckshot Calvert. So give us some credit. Yeah. We'll see what happens.
We will. I'm very, very excited. Because the only other time, we've had a big sporting event like this is like when we go to March Madness.
When we go to March Madness. Yeah. When we won in the first round.
We should have beat Tech too.
Yeah, I know.
If we would have beat Tech, we would have played Duke. Mm-hmm. It would have been maybe the second meeting of Liberty and Duke ever. The first one I remember was I was in elementary school and my parents let me stay up late because it was one of those like early season tournaments things, and it was going on in Alaska, and so the game tipped off at like 11 p.m. or something.
Fascinating.
Duke obviously blew their doors off, but hey, it was fun. There's also I hope we can make the tournament. One of the announcers for Liberty that my dad went to high school with, I don't know how my dad knows him.
What's his name?
Matt Hildebrand. He was a point guard for Liberty back in the day, and my dad had on VHS tape because he'd recorded it because he was friends with them at the time too. Where Liberty went to March Madness and played UNC. Mm. And they gave him a game for the first, like, probably 30 minutes of the game, somewhere in there, in the last 10 minutes. Because basically what happened was Matt was, like, the best player on Liberty, if I remember correctly. I haven't watched the game since I was a little kid. But he basically just ran out of gas. And so he was, like, once that happened, then UNC got some momentum. But it was like my dad recorded it because he thought it was so cool to watch Liberty like
it's fun watching a college program grow.
Well, so Matt played in Europe, and when he was in Europe, he was roommates and teammates with Steve Nash Europe. And he said that was when he kind of realized that he wasn't good enough to go on, because he said like he kept like feeling he was bumping his head against the ceiling, and Steve Nash just like kept going. He said like when they entered, they were like competitive, and then next thing you knew, Steve Nash just like didn't stop getting better. And he was just beast. Like, all right, I'll move on.
It's pretty crazy when you realize that Steve Nash won 2 or 3 MVPs.
He was nasty.
He's like a 6-foot-tall white guy.
Yeah.
From, what is he? Isn't he Canadian?
I think so.
Just like the most random guy
ever. He's scrappy,
though.
He's scrappy.
Yeah. Like, but the, it's just, even if you watch his highlight, it's just, it's beyond confusing.
He was just really shifty. He was hard to guard, and he was also.
Yeah. You know, he did a lot of things well. But like, I don't know if Steve Nash in today's league, like, what would he look like? Who knows? Different league.
Well, yeah. It's just a different. A
lot of smaller guys game on the court nowadays. Yeah, it's that changes game. Things.
Did LeBron surely played against Steve Nash?
Oh yeah,
because that's what I saw. I looked at the list of like who LeBron played against, and it was like guys that I remember.
Steve Nash was on the Lakers like not that long.
That's true.
Ago.
He stayed in the league pretty long. But peak Steve Nash was the Phoenix Suns,
Mavericks, and Suns,
and Mavericks.
Yeah, but like, he was on the Suns with Shaq there for a little bit.
The MVP Steve Nash was Phoenix, right?
I think he probably both.
Or did he get both?
It might have been both. I don't
know. Yeah, I think of him as Phoenix when I think of Steve Nash.
Because when I think of Steve Nash, I think of Phoenix. Because he
emerged
with Sean Marion, too.
In Dallas.
I believe was that same. I think Sean Marion was on that Phoenix Suns team.
Yeah,
because he
was good.
Was a respectable 3-point shooter, but had the most hideous jump shot of all time. I always thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, Steve Nash is 6'3", so he's not as short as I thought he
Which
was.
Which is what's funny, right?
He just looks short.
Like, same height as Steph Curry.
NBA. It's pretty easy to get that.
Yeah, I mean, he started with the Suns, too. He's played in the Suns from 96 to 98, then he was at the Mavericks from 98 to 2004, then the Suns from 2004 to 2012, so it was a big chunk of his career.
Yeah, that's a stretch.
He won MVP. He did win both. It was two of them. They were both with the Suns.
Yeah.
Both of the Suns.
I'll say, I remember the 2004-2012 Steve Nash. 97, that was when I was born.
Because that was kind of towards, because that was kind of when Shaq was like still hanging on to his prime a little bit. They were good.
If you watch Shaq highlights, that man, no wonder his nickname was Diesel.
Yeah.
Because like I vaguely remember, the Shaq I remember was the tubby Shaq. Like, he was still a force to be reckoned with.
We didn't see Lakers Shaq.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I didn't see the Shaquille O'Neal. Like, I saw the tubby Shaq.
If you ever want to really confuse yourself, watch Charles Barkley highlights.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen that.
Dude was an animal.
Yeah.
And
he pushed people around.
Yeah, you want to talk about, I mean, his nickname literally became the round mound of rebound which is one of the greatest nicknames ever. Yeah. But, he was electric when he got drafted. Yep. He was really athletic. And now he's just big guy talks on TV.
Well, have you seen? I saw Ron Artest was pretty sure it was Ron Artest.
Talking about Meta World Peace.
Meta World Peace, yeah.
Meta World Peace.
He was on a podcast and he was talking about his like workout regimen when he was at his peak. Mm-hmm. Which like I wouldn't believe it for most people, but then you look at his physique when he was like in his prime, and I believe it. But I forget some of the stuff he said, but the big one was when he would come back from summer camp, the first like several practices getting back into it, he would wear a 40-pound weighted vest for all of practice.
40 pounds?
And so, when like he got closer to game time, he took that thing off, then he just felt so light, he could jump crazy. I was like, I can't imagine doing like a 10-minute workout with a 40-pound weighted vest.
I really
vest,
like
much less
the
a full NBA practice.
I like the regimen of Chad Ochocinco, formerly Chad Johnson. One of the funniest name changes ever, because Ocho Cinco is not 85 in Spanish.
No, but 8'5".
It's 8'5".
That's how it's called out, right? Like 8'5".
No, 85. It would be how they would call it out. But he only
in
eats
basketball.
McDonald's. Yeah, in basketball it would be. He only eats McDonald's his whole career and like still to this day. And his order is like he gets Big Mac, no onions, extra cheese, Coke. No ice. That's his order.
Freak athletes, man.
And
freak athletes.
It's crazy because like he was a very fast and athletic player in the league, and like even these days he's still in good shape.
And well, that's like we were talking. I think it was last week's.
His heart's got to be in bad shape, surely.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I saw there was some study that was put out that was saying like if you take a smoker and have them exercise semi-regularly versus a non-smoker who doesn't exercise, the smoker's lungs are in better shape.
Yeah, I mean,
it's something like that.
Exercise is important.
Well, and the cholesterol side, obviously, a lot of that's genetic too. Yeah. Right? I mean, unfortunately, yeah. for like, because you could be like Ocho Cinco and never have issues, or be like him and have issues because you.
Well, that was like we were talking on. I think it was last week's banter. I was talking about how like these crazy successful millionaire billionaire people like put out their morning routine.
Yeah,
might have been 2 weeks ago, and people will look at that and think, "Oh, that's what I got to do to get there." But
Mark
it's like
Wahlberg
no.
gets up at 4:30 like, in the morning.
No,
it's
right.
like he doesn't work a 9 to 5.
That's where they are now.
Like,
right.
They're already there.
Yeah,
like, it's like Ocho Cinco's the same thing.
Right.
It's like, you know, you look at that guy. You are not him. Do not go eat McDonald's every meal and expect to be in
You don't
league.
See everything that got him there. You see what he's doing now. Which
listen,
is-
Jason, I've got my reclinable bench for Christmas, okay, for my home gym. I've got foam tiles on the way.
Yes.
New year, new me. I'm going to be a hybrid athlete this year, like an absolute
That's
beast.
Awesome.
And I think I'm going to McDonald's every day.
There you go. Jason, to wrap this podcast out, I got an important question for you. I'm 11 days out from my marathon now.
Okay.
And I'm dealing with something that could be bad.
Overused.
What do you mean?
I saw your update this weekend.
What went from it's not a big deal, just a little overused to it could be bad?
Well, now I'm talking to someone who can help me. Have you dealt with IT band syndrome at
oh,
all?
Oh yeah, in my early days of running, I.
What do I do?
the biggest thing I did was ice it and roll it out. Honestly,
yeah.
So and so like you can do either do the soft roller,
uh-huh.
or because I have both. I have one that's more soft, and I also have one that has the ridges in it.
Yeah,
and the ridges hurts a lot more. But when I started doing the rigid one, it would definitely start kind of working it out for
so,
me.
Like, so do I still run these next 11 days and just like do it really low intensity?
Yes, I would still. If the pain increases, I would definitely not run it. I would maybe go get on an elliptical or go get on a treadmill and walk. Like if you do no movement, it's not good, right? You got to have some movement for your legs because your fitness is there, and you're not going to lose your marathon fitness.
Yeah.
It just will be a harder day if you stop moving over the next 10 days, right? Yeah. It knows what it wants to do. Your legs want to move because you've been running for so much. Even
move.
If it's just an elliptical, going on an elliptical for 30 to 40 minutes, right?
A couple times a day.
Which one? Is it right or left
my
side?
Left. It's my left. Because on my right, it was all
no
after,
more forehands.
All after my post.
Yeah, I would definitely think about
no
what
more
you're doing
forehands.
Disc golf
10 more
10 days.
Days.
I wouldn't do that either, yeah.
No more forehands.
After the 20-mile long run, I had on my right quad was just like a minor overuse thing. Like it wasn't a big deal. I took last weekend off.
Yeah.
It's back. It feels completely fine.
Yeah.
My left, it was like my left hip, and I assumed it was my IT band. So I like started trying to stretch it and roll it out. And then I ran yesterday, and it doesn't hurt during my run. Like once I warm up into a run, it feels fine. But like sitting right here, I can feel it just right at my left knee, just right there. And so I rolled it out and like stretched it a bunch this morning. But I was like, I don't know what to do over these. Cause like if the marathon was tomorrow, I could run it.
Yeah.
Cause like the pain is not bad. But I don't want to do anything stupid over the next 11 days that makes the pain to the point that, like, I'm limping from mile 14 on.
Yeah.
I just want to finish this marathon. That's all I want to do.
Because I've had when I first started running, those first few years, I dealt with a lot of ITB issues. And then towards the end, after I just got the miles and the legs, if they ever got sore, I would roll it out. Well, I had a rollout plan anyway. Every day I would roll it out. But that's what I would do. I would roll it out a little bit in the morning, a little bit at night, and then just see how it goes. Don't stop moving, but don't do anything intense, right?
Yeah, so. I'll probably... The speed work this week was supposed to be semi-intense. I'll probably just do just equivalent miles, not speed work. Next week's speed work is just like marathon pace. Yeah. So it's not really speed work because next week's marathon week.
Yeah.
So I just want to make sure I didn't screw myself.
Yeah, the biggest one, right, is don't stop moving, but just make sure you're getting out there so your legs still have that going because you're not going to lose your ability to complete the marathon in 11 days, but you definitely don't want to go into it hurting. So if it's not hurting when you're running, that's a good thing for sure. So because
it warms up. Yeah. Once my muscles warm up, I know it's just like my muscles around it are tight. Because once my muscles warm up, I'm okay.
Yeah.
But on the 20-mile long run, towards the end of the run, like my knees were killing me, my quads were killing me. And then after that, it just took a while for this quad to heal up. But I must have changed how I was running during it to do something to my IT band. Because that's all I can think of is because I've never had problems before, and that run hurt more than most runs I've ever been on, which makes sense. It was the longest I've ever ran. And then after that is when this is appeared. So I'm like, I definitely changed how it was running to finish that and like strained it somehow.
Yeah.
So I was just trying to figure out what I do these next 11 days to like, because again, if I can be in this condition on race day, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I just don't want it to get worse. Because this condition, I can get through at least 20, 22 miles.
Sleep.
And then the last four, whatever. Yeah. I'll send it because then I'll just have 4 miles left. But if it gets way worse, I don't want that to be like, I got 13 miles left. What do I do?
Yeah. Not a bad idea. You'll see people talk about it is like basically freezing a water bottle and roll it out on your... after it. Because when it's sore, frozen water bottle, roll it out on there to try to get that coldness in there to help with the inflammation to bring it down as quick as possible.
That sounds good.
And also, I don't know if you... It's not a good habit to get into, but definitely take an ibuprofen. You know, and I don't know if you take any anti-inflammatories at all, but like that will help as well with your...
I typically...
And I don't I like people get into them and use them too much. They become a version of addicted to it because it helps with inflammation.
I take 10 every morning.
Maybe I'll take one before the race.
Because of my back, I'm at that place now because I have a really bad back. So if I'm hurting, I'll take my ibuprofen, but I try not to take it normally. But like that's another thing to help with inflammation if it's particularly bad. So
yeah, when I played baseball, guys would just chug those things for their elbows.
I've just always been. I don't want to. Oh, yeah. I just don't want to rely on something I don't need because I also don't want to cover up symptoms that are there and then I do something and not because I can't feel my injury and then it makes it worse because I can't feel it.
Yeah.
I want to feel it.
Wait till marathon day and then just
marathon day I might
pop two
before I get out there.
People try to take them to get ahead of it. I never took them during it because when I run with that, it messes with my stomach. It just gives me a little nauseous if I run with ibuprofen in my stomach.
Don't do it.
That's a me thing. So I wouldn't try it on marathon day if you haven't done it before.
I've never done it before.
Because you don't want that to...
We don't
want to... never try that. The best advice you'll get is don't try something new.
Like we had before.
On race day, you do not try something new.
No,
don't go with new socks, new shoes, new anything.
My 20-mile run, I tested everything race day. I got my Powerade because that's what they use electrolytes on the course there. I had water. I set it up every 2 miles. I pre-race nutrition, time of day when I started my run, everything race day. The only thing I couldn't emulate was the temperature.
Right.
But everything else I tested and it went good.
How many hidden Mickeys are you going to find out there? That's a real question.
However many are on the ground 10 feet in front of me, because that's all I'm looking at.
Because there's going to be people all around you, right? So it's fun.
Do people in that marathon get too touristy? Like, let's look around. You're like trying to run.
Yeah. So at the beginning, that's why I told Now, thankfully, Hunter's in a faster corral because his half marathon was so good. I've done the faster, not the super fast, but I've done like the C corral before when I was at my peak of running. And so for the first mile or two, there's a lot of people, but then it spaces out. And so you should be in that group that... the people at the front are going to want, because they're trying to run fast. And so you should have space, but I've been at the back of the crowd so much that for like the first 5 or 10 or 15 miles, it's just people everywhere. Like, and I'm a run walker by trade, so that's hard for me too, because I'm running and then stopping. So I'm getting over the side of the road to like, there's a whole process. Like you raise your hand, let people know behind you, you're about to walk, and I'd go walk over. But there's characters on the course. You can stop and get in line and get a photo with characters.
Oh,
like
disaster,
everywhere you'll see,
dude.
There's characters.
That's great. That's
they'll pull out rare characters.
You got to lower the shoulder and just hit Pluto right in the chest.
So make sure you take your phone, like if you want any cool photos. Because now later in the race, the lines are like 15 to 20 minutes per person. Right? So that won't be for you, but for
so
the early
funny.
Folks.
It's just like some people are just there to like walk through Disney.
You're not there to PR, right? It's very hard unless you're at the front corral, because it's a fairly flat race. Unless you're in the front corral, it's very hard to PR because there's so many
runners.
Well,
I'll PR because I've never finished.
Fair enough. Yeah, you're going to make your PR
there.
That's why I chose
this marathon, though, is because like mile 20 to 26, I want all that going on.
Yeah, it's also, and I've told Hunter this, but like the last, because you end up going into Hollywood Studios around mile 20, you go through like a mile and a half, then you go from Hollywood Studios to Boardwalk to Epcot. And so like your last 5 miles, you're in parks or going between parks, and there's crowd is everywhere cheering you on the entire time. And they often, around mile 20, will have like chocolate they give out. Like I haven't done the race.
Dangerous.
So I've done the Disney Marathon 5 times. Yeah. But it's been a few years.
I'll down way too many
Reese's chocolate there.
Reese's bunnies out there.
It's great. I think we're going to be at Hollywood Studios. And so I think we'll be there. So I'm going to be tracking you. So I'm going to try to find you somewhere. So if you need something, just text me and I'll make sure I have something for you. I really need a coat.
Every amusement park like should be doing races.
Even if
they're just a 5K.
It's a tough day for the fans that day. Going to the parks is tough because a lot of the roads are blocked off. But they start the race super early for that.
The parks are still open?
Yeah. Like when he goes through Magic Kingdom, it won't be open yet. There'll be a lot of people there on Main Street because they open Main Street up so fans can see.
That's crazy.
But by the time he hits Animal Kingdom, which is like 10 or 11 miles,
it's gonna be hype.
The park won't quite be. It'll be right to get opening, but for Hollywood Studios and Epcot, we will be at the park. Like people actually ride rides. That was my goal. I told Hunter that me and Ryder's goal was to actually go ride Expedition Everest because that's Animal Kingdom, and it would be open by then, and people will go jump in rides because they'll have the teacups going, or historically, so you can literally go jump on the teacups at Magic
Kingdom.
Wait,
you can jump on a ride and then keep running?
Yeah,
dude, that's what's awesome about Disney. This race is crazy.
Well, it's Disney.
It's Disney, right?
Disney, man.
It's one of the most expensive races, and it actually has probably one of the largest crowds. But you go because you like Disney, and it has super cool medals. So,
dude, you're gonna have a Mickey.
I'm very jealous. Like, I'm glad I'm not running because I wasn't in the shape to do it. And Ryder and I are planning on doing it next year because Ryder's done a half marathon. His first half marathon was Disney. His first 10K, his 5K. We've done all the races there, so he wants his first marathon to be Disney. So our goal is next year, hopefully, do it.
See how the year goes. All right,
let's roll the dice.
Oh yes!
All right, Trevor, you roll first.
This is exciting. I forgot about this. If I can, okay, two hands, Trevor. Here we go.
Get out Chris Dicerson first.
Chris Dicerson. Okay, I'm gonna use this as a backstop. Jason,
welcome back, Jason.
Here you go.
Okay, let me.
Dude, that thing is Connor.
Oh, so that means I roll.
It means you roll.
Okay, I gotta come up there.
Okay.
Mom, come over there.
Okay. This thing's unpredictable.
I'm just a beardless Connor. Trevor.
Me. Okay. Me, you, and Con next week. There you have it. So far, I'm 2 for 2 with the die.
Both
here.
Of you are.
So am I.
I was going to say, the dice went the exact same sequence last time.
It's weighted, man. Brad and... Brad, Silas, and Hunt.
Well, what's good is people.
Yeah,
because
Connor got rolled last week too. The exact same rolls happened last week.
It's good. Yeah, it's good because people get what they wanted. Because this week they were gypped Connor.
Yeah.
With y'all, so now at least y'all are back.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you have it,
buddy. You wanted. All right.